Okay, welcome back. Another edition of Addiction and Redemption. I think this is legitimately episode 50, I believe. So again, I'm Dave Keenest. This is brought to you by Keenest Coaching. And if you are interested in transforming your experience of what it means to be alive, hit me up and maybe we could have a conversation and talk about your goals and how you'd like things to look. It's pretty amazing because you guys have heard like what I went through, right? And where I am now and a lot of, you know, where it's went from a bad life to a much, much better life as a result of some difficult decisions, going to rehab and whatnot. And that, you know, it was those initial decisions that inevitably led me to here where I live in Southern California, you know, on the beach, basically surfing my life away and doing amazing work with amazing people. It's just living proof that anything's possible. And here's the good news. You don't need to be a full-blown heroin addict to reevaluate your life and start making new decisions about where you'd like to go. That's the amazingly good news. I did it for you. All right. I'm proof that it's that anything's possible, so you don't need to drag yourself through hell. How's that? So we left off. I moved into this building. I ended up at this building in Lake Michigan, on Lake Michigan. It wasn't in Lake Michigan, on Lake Michigan. And you know, I can't emphasize again enough the number of meetings I was going to. These meetings were my entire life. And there were all of these people back then in the fall and early winter of 2007 that were also going through the same thing. You know, there's just literally, I'm all of a sudden, I'm friends with hundreds of people, or I know hundreds of people. And, you know, there's this Thursday night group that I would go to, and there would be like 100 or 200, between 100 and 200 people there. And I'm just starting to meet more and more people. And I'm just starting to just fall into this routine of like going to these meetings, you know, either at noon, they're called a nooner, or early evening and, you know, mid evening, and just all the time, all the time. It's all I did. It's all there was to do. It's the only thing that mattered. And those of, you know, if you're one of those people that's an addict or a drunk and you're listening to this and you think it's a cool show and you're stoked that I'm doing it and you like listening to it and you're struggling, I'm basically giving you the secret. The secret is to go to meetings like it's the only thing left in the universe to do, because it is. And I know some people that recover in different ways. I'll get into some of that stuff later on. I know people that do spirit medicine like ayahuasca and stuff like that. And there is effectiveness to it, but there's just something that it lacks. So the ego is hilarious in its resistance, in the way that it resists things. It will just, you know, it's like, here's the ticket to a brand new life. And people will be like, oh, I don't know about those meetings. And you know, very few people, about one every 20 or 30 that's introduced to this way of life, says, hey, those meetings sound like a good idea. I'll give my entire soul to them and see what happens. It's about one out of 20 or one out of 30 people. And it's fine for the rest, but it's the only way that I know. And I've explored everything. I've explored basically all, you know, most of the religions, and then, you know, South American shamanism with ayahuasca and whatnot as well. And I don't know anything more effective personally. And there's a spiritual path associated with them. There's a spiritual path, the 12 steps, and the 12 steps are a very, 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 very powerful spiritual path. You will not find a more powerful spiritual path. You know, you might, if you want to go become a monk or a nun or something, that might be as, you know, the more powerful, but you're marrying yourself to God then, right? You're marrying your higher power. You're renouncing everything. And those people got some balls. I'm not cut out for that. If you just want to live in the world and have a spirituality that works, the place to start is these meetings. So anyway, I'm just going to these things like there's no tomorrow, and I'm meeting people. And I remember now there's starting, like, girls are starting to come in the scene. right? Like now there's like women all around. They're all younger too. And, you know, I'm like still kind of young at this point. I'm like 32 and there's just all these young, hot, crazy chicks in early sobriety. And so we're all kind of in it together. And these programs are kind of, the sex stuff that goes on in these programs, it kind of runs rampant because you got to figure, you got all these fucking crazy ass people, right? And you take away their number one source of enjoyment, right? Which is alcohol and drugs. And then the hormones come back, right? So now all these people have really to do for fun is fucking. And you're really not supposed to do any fucking in the first year, they say, but almost everybody does. I don't really know anybody that doesn't or that didn't, that could at least. And so enter girls, you know, and they're not women yet. I'm still messing with girls. I didn't start dating women until many years later. There's a difference between a girl and a woman, and that's a whole other story. But I'm getting involved with girls, and everywhere I go, I'm meeting girls. There's just and back then I called them chicks. It's chicks. So many fucking chicks in recovery, and I want to bang this chick and that chick. And I was dating this girl named Elizabeth for a while. She's really cute, this little black girl. I think her dad is Puerto Rican, her mom was African American. She was really cute, and we kind of dated for a little while, and I can't remember what it was that had us not go up. I think I went a little crazy, or not go on. I think I went a little crazy, and then I kind of fucked over this other girl, and then I met this girl named Robin, who more on her later. I may have mentioned her in a previous episode, but. You know, there was something. I met her on a Thursday night meeting after a Thursday night meeting, and there was something there. But then I met this girl named Liza, and this was actually later on. I think I met her. I saw her at a meeting one night. She's so beautiful. She's just this absolutely breathtaking little Jewish girl, weighed about 99 pounds, soaking wet, if that, and just. Really cute. She's just the most beautiful woman. And you know, at the time she was 22 and I was 32, I think. I was a full 10 years older than her. And I saw her across this meeting one night and I stalked her on MySpace. MySpace was like an instrumental in early sobriety as well. I got on MySpace and I was like posting all these blogs on sobriety and MySpace and friending everybody on MySpace. And Facebook hadn't really completely broken on the scene yet. And MySpace was the thing in charge. And so I'm getting back in touch with the people from Colorado via MySpace. And everybody's starting to connect on MySpace. And, you know, you could, like, set up your account so that there was music that played when people went to see your profile. So I stalked this girl on MySpace. And started sending her messages and finally got the nerve to ask her out. And we went out for coffee and we just hit it off. We just completely hit it off. And there was just this really special connection. And I just fucked this other girl like a week before or something. And then I decided I didn't want to go out with her. And so I basically fucked her over. And it was such a dick move. So I like banged this one girl. And then I'm going to use some really politically incorrect language again. I'm just telling the story exactly as I remember it, as if I would tell it, you know, back then. So I banged this one girl and then like didn't. And she actually broke my sobriety virginity. This one girl did. And took my sobriety virginity. And then I met this other girl, Liza. And so her and I went out on a date. And then, you know, one or two nights later, three nights later, something like that, four nights later, we're just fucking banging like crazy. And it was just like, it was just the best. It was just great. It was really great. I'll never forget those however many weeks it lasted. More on that here in not too long. But so I immediately just think I'm in love with this girl. Like, we're in love. Like, I'm thinking we're going to get married. You know what I mean? And my sponsor is, you know, that's the person that helps you when you're early in sobriety. And actually not only when you're early all the time. But You know, he's like, you think you're in love, but you're not in love. You know, you just wait and see how this thing goes. I've seen this a million times. It's not going to last. And I was like, we're in love. Shut up. We're in love. You don't understand. And just thinking, you know, kind of delusionally. She might be listening to this, but, you know, whatever. So we're just like fucking like crazy. And, you know, we'd go to the meeting and we'd see the other girl there, and the other girl would be like completely and totally devastated because I basically just pulled the biggest dick move in the world, you know, like fuck her and then bring some other girl to a meeting and have her see it like in high school. It's awful. It's just my behavior was so immature, but you got to figure, like, I've been on drugs since I was 16, and now I'm 32, and I basically have the mentality and kind of the emotional maturity of about a 15 or 16 year old, something like that. So I'm still thinking I'm thinking in high school terms. I'm like, I'm not an adult. I'm just this glorified adolescent. And this would go on for a few more years. The glorified adolescence. I can tell you honestly right now with the utmost sincerity that I am a man. Back then I was not. I was just this kid. And we're all kids. We're all playing around together. And the dangerous thing about this type of behavior in sobriety is that people will get really upset about it and then they'll start drinking or using drugs again and they'll be dead. I mean, it fucking happens. It's not even remotely uncommon. Like, two people get sober, they get a few months under their belt, and then they get into a relationship and they fall, quote unquote, in love. And it's all based on feelings. It has nothing to do with, is this a suitable partner for me? It's all based on feelings and emotional intoxication. And then when that thing is removed, when that person is removed, when one of them goes a little crazy and breaks up, or the girl meets another guy, or the guy meets another girl, they go crazy and then they start drinking again because they can't handle the feelings that come up because they don't have the tools. The program does provide the tools. The 12-step program provides the tools, but very few people listen or use them, particularly in relationships. So it's kind of it's like I'm just like in this fog with this girl, and she lived on like the Gold Coast. She lived downtown in this like high rise on the 24th floor. And so I would like ride. I basically just moved in with her. I basically just moved all my not moved all my shit in, but just had like my bike stuff and just all my clothes, and more clothes would just keep on ending up there. And we would just lay around, sleep in real late. And I had this sort of, this job. I met this guy. I was in the gym. I was at Export Fitness in Chicago, this fitness center. And I looked up one day and I saw this guy that I recognized, and I went up to him. I mentioned him several episodes ago. He was in my first treatment center, and he's this big, crazy fucking guy named Joe. He's this huge, muscular, complete and total narcissist guy. And at this point, I had 7 months of sobriety. So you got to figure all of this happened. You know, I'm 7 months in now. I'm about 6 months after the white light burning bush experience. I'm sober 6 or 7 months, I want to say. And I really kind of got my shit together, and I got this girl, and I'm in the gym this one day because I'm like really into working out because that's what I did in rehab. And I got this place on the lake, but now I'm staying at this girl's house down in the Gold Coast. And, you know, it's life's pretty good at this point compared to how it was. It's really, really, really good. And I meet this guy and I'm like, hey man, remember me? And he's like, I remember you. And so he's like, what are you doing for a living? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm working for this other guy. I was still working for the crazy guy whose floor I was sleeping on, but he was getting crazier and crazier. And we were about to have this huge falling out. And he's like, well, come work for me. I'm doing stuff. He's like a millionaire. He's like, I'll hook you up with the best job ever. So I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. So I get his information. I can't remember what we did. I think maybe we went and had lunch from there. But his name was Joe. So now I got like Liza and Joe. And I'm like sober. And I don't realize how fragile of a of a tightrope I'm walking. I'm just walking this, is that the right, how tight of a tightrope? I don't know what the terminology is here. But I'm walking this very fine line all of a sudden, but I don't realize it. I don't realize how much craziness I've all of a sudden gotten myself into, right? Because I'm sober, I'm going to all these meetings, but now I got these girls, and the girls are complicating things. They just are. You know, they're just making things a little more, you know, it's like I was on the solid foundation and now I got this, you know, my dick is making decisions for me and I'm not really listening to what people are saying that I should be listening to. And now I meet this guy who tells me he's going to make me a millionaire. He's like, I want to make you a millionaire. And so it starts to get just a little precarious here. You know, just a little shady. So I'm going to go ahead and end there. Thanks for listening. I don't know if this is my best episode, but I hope you liked it. I really hope people enjoy listening to this stuff when it's not all fucking gnarly and nasty. You know, there's still some crazy shit that's going to happen, but it's much more in the magical, wow, can you believe that shit happened, versus, fuck, can you believe that shit happened? You know, like versus the gory version. So anyway, talk to you next time. Bye-bye.